Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Phoenix, Arizona, it's time for Phoenix Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Hello, everyone. It's Autumn again, and I'm also here with Sarah Ann.
Hello.
So we would like to thank Kurt McCormick and Associates for sponsoring this wonderful radio show. And also, we want to recognize Karen Nowicki, who's actually the host of Business Radio X. And so we're thought and service leaders. And what we are going to be talking about today is homelessness. And we have two special guests with us, Gretchen Jewell with Jewell Homes AZ and Justin Beers with Hummingbird Tiny Home Inn. So what we're usually doing in Scott Foundation is we are helping kids in foster care to help make their lives better by mentoring and also having other people in the community helping us. And right now we're talking about a bunch of problems and situations that happen during foster care and even outside of it. And we want other people's viewpoints, and we also want to come up with solutions tonight. And so I want to ask Gretchen Jewell, can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yes, thank you. I'm Gretchen Jewell, and I work in residential real estate. I work for HomeSmart in all over the valley, but primarily in Central Phoenix. And I am a foster mother. We adopted our three kiddos in the last 5 years, and we've been partnering with Scott Foundation for 2 years now, and we love this group.
Thank you. And what about you?
Justin Beers with Hummingbird Tiny Home Inn. And I've been working in hospitality for pretty much my entire life, about 20 years. And about a year and a half ago, my wife and I, and with our three kids, we decided to get out of the corporate world and enter into a business for ourselves. And we're going to be opening up a tiny house hotel up in Cave Creek, Arizona, hopefully this fall. So stay tuned for that.
Very cool.
Thank you for having us.
Of course. Our first subject is housing. So can either one of you explain a bit about the market today and how it works and stuff?
Sure. Yeah, I can give you some insight. Our market analysts are saying that right now in real estate, we have a balanced market. So as of our January data, real estate demand is slightly higher than our supply. So the market slightly favors the seller, or in other words, it's slightly a seller's market. So that means our housing prices are continuing to climb, but at a normal appreciation rate around 2-3% increase in sales price, but not huge climbs in numbers. So that's good for sellers. But what's also good for our buyers in real estate is that housing in Phoenix is still affordable overall compared to other parts of the country, and our interest rates compared to historic rates are still considered relatively low.
Okay, so I have a question because I was talking about housing and stuff today. So is it true that once the prices of housing is actually after it increases for such a long period that it ends up decreasing?
Well, historically, we've seen up and down, and it always goes at a different rate. So it's really hard to time the market and know exactly what's going to happen. But we do see fluctuations, although over a 20-year period of time, we see a general trend of slow growth.
Okay. So is that good?
It's good.
Okay, thanks. So one of the main issues is why we're asking two people with housing background is homelessness. So what is the observation that you guys have, and also the feeling of how everything is in Arizona with homelessness?
For me, I think that is such a complex issue. Homelessness is just, we've been a country for hundreds of years, and this is still something that we are dealing with, and we're not coming with solutions. I know there's hundreds and thousands of people out there that are trying to find solutions, but we haven't, we haven't found that magic cure for homelessness yet. Just here in Tempe, you walk down the streets and there's people, on the bus stops and sleeping on the curb. And I hope we're heading in the right directions. I know, and we could talk about this in a little bit, is there's a few really outside the box thinking that is going on in the country today, because I think people are fed up waiting for the government to like fix this problem, because we've obviously thrown trillions of dollars at it and nothing seems to be changing. In fact, in Arizona, it's actually gotten a little bit worse. You know, our homeless numbers are up. People are actually leaving the shelter system too, which was, I was amazed to find. You know, we've actually had a decrease about 30% in people staying in the shelters, and it's because people are stealing from them. There's violence in the shelters. There's so many different aspects that lead to people leaving these institutions that we've set up to be a safe place, and now they're back on the streets. So what do we do to fix this? It's a huge, multidimensional, complex issue. And I'm just happy to be here talking with you ladies about this, because this is a very grown up and complex issue. So the more talk we can have and the more awareness we can bring, I think the better, because these are the discussions we need to have.
Yeah, you know, definitely. As a society. Oh yeah. And are you guys aware that some of it comes from foster care? Like, are you guys aware of that? Like how they just, when you're 18, they just go, oh, here you go. Like,
right.
Go live your life. We're good. We're just going to take another kid. You go over there and do your life. And then they just end up, they give you classes expecting it to just be like just work. But in reality, it's just like, it doesn't help. So are you guys aware of that? And what are your opinions on it?
Yes, I'm very aware. And that's one of the reasons my husband and I have always been so passionate about teens in foster care, is because the lack of resources and the lack of support and the significant need that's out there. One of the kids that we adopted was a teenager, just because we identified the need there and it meant a lot to us. And also why we've been partnering with Scott Foundation, because, you know, as we've talked about, Scott Foundation and what you're doing is, you're thought and service leaders, you're serving the community, you're finding needs in the community, and you're getting emotional healing and being able to kind of step beyond where you've been so that you can be a healthy self. And, you know, the future generations then are less likely to experience, hopefully, foster care or homelessness.
There's been a couple girls in my group home that have not aged out, but they're teenagers. Got moved into families or wrong places that they shouldn't have been moved into, and they're on the run. So they don't want to be in foster care. They don't want to be part of their family. They don't want to be part of all this. So I've heard a lot of cases where a lot of kids just run away and decide to go and do what they do. And I use the bus, like the actual like city bus, for transportation to school and home and stuff like that. So like, I'll see people behind the bus stops, like, laying down and sleeping and having shopping carts. And honestly, it hurts my heart, like, to see people suffering, especially considering it's, like, when people say, oh, well, why don't they just go get a job? It's not that simple, because you have to be well-presented, you know, you have to have all this, you have to have all that. Like, some people can't even afford getting a birth certificate or their driver's license or their state ID for even like small things like voting.
Right.
Because it all costs money.
Yeah. And I think some people take it like having jobs and stuff for granted, because they think like, oh yeah, I'm supposed to have this. Or I've been around people that are like homeless people, like, why don't they just get up and just, you know, go, it's not that hard. And in reality, it is, because like Autumn said, it's just all this stuff costs money. And not only that, they don't have the resources, where people are like, well, there's organizations that help with that. But they don't know that, because, you know, no one has educated them. They're just on the street. How are they going to get education? No one's coming up to them and telling them like, oh, this organization can help you with this and this and this.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, we talked about it in our last radio show as well. And then we came up with the idea of maybe like figuring out what kind of like organizations are actually going out there and trying to help the homelessness. And if they're doing it in a correct way, we're definitely going to be like, you know what? Maybe we should hand out flyers. Yeah. Maybe we should post them up on like city boards. Mm-hmm. Like, we need to start doing stuff, because like you said, like, we have tax dollars that we give the government, but they think of like the whole population, not just like a small part of it. So when it comes to foster care or homelessness or things that people think that are getting dealt with aren't really getting as dealt with as everybody thinks.
And when you look at the numbers of the tax dollars that actually go to homelessness, for example, it's such a minute amount that it can't be spread far enough. And a lot of the people that are homeless need much more than just a bed and a meal. Like they need help.
Right.
You know, a big portion of homeless people are dealing with drug addiction because they've been left alone. They have no purpose in life. And the drugs give them a temporary, you know, feeling of euphoria and like, wow, my life's not horrible for 10 minutes while I'm on this high. And then they go back down. And it's just this vicious cycle. And until we deal with that problem, too, I think that's probably one of the most significant problems with the homeless population is the drug addiction. You know, until we deal with that. And there's many facets, too. You know, like you have the family that, you know, the husband or wife got injured on the job and lost their job. And then they can't make their mortgage payment. So now they're on the street. So there's, you know, people lump homelessness into like one little basket, and it's so much more complex than that. It's all the same thing, but it's not, because like you have those families, you have the people that, you know, were abused with drugs when they were with their families, got kicked on the streets, and now they have to find their own way. And who's going to help that person? The family's given up, they've given up, and where's that person going to go?
So it's,
I think we need to start looking at it as a multi-layered problem rather than just a single issue of, hey, go get a job, you're homeless. Like that old mindset. And like Sarah Ann said, when I hear that, I'm like, you have no idea what these people are going through. And go talk to one of them for 1 minute, or, you know, watch a documentary if you don't want to, you know, go talk to someone, because there's so much information out there of what these people are going through, and nobody's taking the time to really investigate.
Well, in all honesty, like, I scroll through Facebook. Yeah, I'm still like an old soul or whatever, because everybody says Facebook is dead, which I don't think so.
You're right. Still works for me.
I love Facebook. It's probably because I've had it since like I was little. But I see a lot of videos that are like about like trying to help show that homelessness isn't just one thing. Like people are trying to make a difference. They're trying to ask for people's help. But all they think is, oh, well, they're just going to use it for drugs. Why help them? Like, there's more ways to help them without just giving them money. You could give them food. You could give them, like, you could give them even clothes, a blanket. Like, even an umbrella would be fine, especially in Arizona. Like, the weather here is very harsh.
Right.
So it's not, like, 100% the same. So, Justin.
It's okay. Oh my grandma calls me Jason,
sorry.
Too. I'm used to it. I'm totally used to it.
I don't know why.
Name with a J.
Jason was always just stuck in my head.
James, Justin, Jason, Jack, anything.
Yeah. If you want to get me back, you can call me Amber.
Okay, Amber.
People call me Amber all the time.
I would never do that, Amber.
Oh.
So why did you leave the corporate world exactly? I mean, you sound very in tune with like everything that we're talking about today, and also like what's going on in our society.
Well, it's funny because a year and a half ago, I wasn't. And that was my problem. You know, I would sit on me and my wife used to sit on our back porch, and, you know, after a day of work, and our kids would be sleeping, and we'd be like, what is our purpose here? Like, we have this house, we have this life. I'm working 60, 70 hours a week. I'm not seeing my kids grow up. I'm coming home, kissing them goodnight, drop them off at school in the morning. And we really just came to a conclusion, like, we are not living life. We're not giving back. We're not connected with our community. You know, I wanted to do, you know, outreach and help in any way I could. But at the end of my 60-hour work week, trying to raise a family, mortgage, car payments, et cetera, you know, we don't have time to do anything. And I think that's one of the biggest problems with our entire society right now, is we all feel drained and we can't do anything more. And we were in that situation ourselves, and we're like, we have to make a change.
Like zombies.
We're like zombies. Exactly. No, that's 100%.
Especially when it came to phones. Like,
oh my God.
Teenagers and phones. Like, I can live without my phone. I mean, I pay for it and stuff like that, but I can live like an hour without my phone. But kids in school, they always get them taken away. Like, is it really that hard to just sit there and learn and get out of school? Like, You got to have school to do other things. Like, are you really so focused on like what's going on in your phone that you don't even realize the world around you?
I actually like school. Like,
you are an old soul.
You're definitely old soul for
yes. saying that.
We both are. We're like the oldest souls out there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I've been around for centuries.
Yeah, in our minds, obviously. So So our world is obviously very confusing and definitely stressful, considering like how much people have to work to make those payments and to make all those goals that they want to achieve. So what do you think people misunderstand the most, like, or aren't aware of when it comes to homelessness or foster care? I mean, even your workplace.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll kind of share with, you know, what Justin was saying, too, about how it's, you know, multifaceted and very complex, the issue of homelessness. And I think one thing is, you know, awareness, like we were talking about. But I think it has to be, you know, not just discussing it, but a compassionate awareness. So, you know, in the foster care world, somebody said to me once when, you know, all of us who are taking on foster kids and we are thinking about the parents of these kids, it's easy to just judge and think, oh, how could you do this? Mm-hmm. How could you get here? But what we forget is that those kids were often a product of the foster care system, too. And they were never set up the right way. And we don't know how far these things, you know, go back. So I think there has to be, you know, just eliminating the judgment of why, but just to show compassion and step up to help. But going even further back, also to kind of identify, not in judgment, but to identify where some of the problems come from. And one thing, as I was really thinking about this today, is social, you know, isolation and how a lot of us have resources to pull from, you know, when it comes to how do I, you know, live independently and take care of myself. And, you know, you were mentioning earlier about kids who age out of the foster care system and they are socially isolated. They don't have a mom and dad mm-hmm. and sister and aunt that they can lean on when they're needing to transition and live life independently. And, you know, even not just within the foster care system, but other people that are in distress, if they're socially isolated, they don't have mm-hmm. resources to pull from. And that, I think, continues the problem of homelessness and foster care, too.
Like Tim, he was never in foster care, but I mean, he went through the same thing, just differently. Like, he just stayed in that situation. And I feel like kids that are in foster care are just the ones that spoke up. That doesn't mean that that's the end of the problem or that's the number of kids that are going through struggles, you know? Right. So in my mind, I try to keep an open mind whenever someone's angry or stuff like that. Like, my integrity is being respectful to you, even if you aren't respectful to me, because in all honesty, you don't know their backstory. Like, they could literally be having someone on the deathbed or having a hard time. Like, it just hurts my soul, like, thinking of the things that people say and do. And there was even a video today that I was looking at, and it was a short story about, like, lines connected to, like, spirits, ghosts, whatever you guys want to call it, a soul, whatever. Mm-hmm. And the person that was dressed up as Death was trying to, like, do its job, and then one little girl who was trying to go in wasn't able to because her mom was still connected and didn't want to give up on her. Mm-hmm. So it's like, even though you don't know their story, they have a very long line of history. It's just you got to pay attention to that, because if you don't, you're going to miss out what's like what you need to do to fix it, you know?
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, yeah.
Justin.
Yes.
Oh, sorry. You joined us at our quarterly business meeting.
Yes.
What did you think of that? Like, all the communications, like, what did you think of that?
I thought it was incredible. It was my first time at the meeting. And, you know, when I was in the corporate world, I mentioned this at the meeting too, is, you know, you have those people that you kind of connect with. Mm-hmm. People use the word woke and they throw that around mm-hmm. a lot. But there really is this underbelly, I think, of society that is actually woke. And, you know, they are able to show compassion and empathy for people. And there's mm-hmm. people that are zombies, like Sarah Ann said, that just kind of stay the track and I got to get my job and I got to pay this. And I literally felt I was in a room of woke people, you know, people that understand that there's more to life than paying a mortgage and a big car and a fancy house. Like, these people want to do better. And they saw the passion with Colleen and Tim and the foundation. And that's what drew me in. You know, when I left my job, I wasn't looking for an organization. I was like, you know what, it'll come naturally. And it did. And it just kind of fell in my lap. And to have a spokeswoman like Colleen, like, really lay it out for you, you're like, wow, this is a huge opportunity. That, you know, it's an outside the box thing. This is not something that is talked about a lot. And some of the information, like the, you know, the foster kids being on their own at 18, that's something I didn't know. I was a zombie. I was not, you know, we live in our little bubbles, you know, we used to be very communal beings. We used to live in tribes. And when you live like that, you know what's going on. So if you know that, you know, Grandma Johnson's sick, everyone knows that Grandma Johnson's sick, and they all pull together and they help.
And they try to help.
And in our society, we just shut off. Like, I didn't know my neighbors. I went over there when the kid threw the ball over the fence and said, "Hi, can I get the ball?" I didn't know them though. And so, you know, when you have a group of people that is woke, that is understanding that there are bigger things that are going on that we need to address and solve, it was just such an incredible event to be at, to feel that power and that passion.
Colleen has that effect on people.
If we could clone her and get her compassion out in the world, we'd be in a good spot.
Mm-hmm. Actually, to like play off of what you said about the not knowing your neighbors, me and Sarah Ann live in a group home. And that's 10 girls. And that means two staff on a timely manner, like every other day, mm-hmm. or sometimes even every day. It depends on how many staff we have.
Yeah.
Our neighbors are so like absorbed in themselves mm-hmm. that they do not realize what a group home is. Like, we've gotten the police called on us like 15 times for no reason.
Yeah, no reason.
And every single time the police officer comes, they're like, "I'm so sorry. Like, I didn't know. I was just coming in for the call." Like, it's gotten to the point where they're just being abruptly rude. Like, there's only mm-hmm. like two neighbors in our whole U-turn. So it's like a big U. Mm-hmm. And there's only two people that are like actually genuinely nice to us. Mm-hmm. And that's one of our neighbors right next door. And then like down the street.
Yeah, that's so disappointing.
Yeah, it makes me really frustrated because I've been really struggling because I've been in foster care for so long, you know?
Right.
So, like, I grew up really fast, and when it comes down to it, like, I'm really respectful. I don't do anything bad. So everybody looking at me like I'm a bad kid because I live in a group home.
Yeah.
Like, one of our neighbors drove up to me and my boyfriend and started yelling at us. And then all of a sudden, he's like, "Well, you should get out." And he's talking to my boyfriend. I'm like, he's with me and I live here. And he's like, "Yeah, you live in that group home, don't you?" And I was like, "Yeah, I do." Like, I said it respectfully and I said it like I didn't care what he had to think about it. But man, it's just like people are so absorbed in themselves that they don't see like who people actually are. Like, there's this homeless guy. I've seen him like 5 times in the same spot. Every single time when I can, when I'm not broke, I'll always give him some money just to spare. Like, it's something that I feel like I should do, you know, to be involved. And then, I mean, people just don't look at people. They just look at what they're labeled as. Like, homeless.
And
foster care.
Yeah, I've done that too, where there's one time a guy just asked me, he was like, "Hey, can I have like a dollar?" And at the time, I didn't have a dollar, but I just didn't want to tell him no, you know? I wanted to help, so I just gave him, like, $5, because I didn't have, like, a single dollar bill, so I was just like, "Take the whole $5. He was like, "Take the whole $5. I was like, "Take the whole $5. I don't need it."
You're so generous.
How much?
Autumn.
Go ahead, sorry.
What you were saying about, you know, with people judging the group homes in the neighborhood, it seems it's disappointing that someone wouldn't think there is an easy area for me to volunteer. If you live in a neighborhood and you know that there's a group home there, then you could step up and say, "This is my community, this is my home, mm-hmm. this is my neighborhood, and I want to do something positive," and just show up, walk, knock on the door and ask for, you know, who's managing the home, and you can volunteer, you know?
Yeah. Right.
I wish that people would think that way instead.
Yeah, definitely. Like,
but it's like what the social television and stuff puts out there. So, like, sometimes people, when they go, they first think of foster kids, they think runaway. But that's because a lot of the movies just show foster kids run away. Like, that's, if you look at almost majority of the movies about foster kids, they're just about kids, just running away, having an attitude, doing illegal stuff. And it just, I think that's where people kind of get their, like, That's where they're droned in because, you know, we're based on like movies and technology. And that's how they get droned in. That's how we started building up these stereotypes. And I think it's just, I think if you're going to say something, you just might as well do research instead of just watching. Assuming. Yeah. Watching something and mean like, that's it. I know what that person's about.
Speaking of the media, did you two see that movie, or did anybody see that movie, Instant Family?
I wanted to see that, and I didn't see it, and I was salty.
That made me cry so bad. Oh my gosh, I was like, that's what people need to like learn,
right?
And I was like, I mean, obviously, some of it was a little cheesy and not really how it works, but in all honesty, I mean, it went straight to the point. Justin, so when Sarah Ann was talking about like how people like just make labels for foster kids, I feel like when you were saying that there's a complexity of like the different groups of homelessness, I feel like that's the same with foster care.
Absolutely.
Because I mean, there's a lot of kids that are in a bunch of different situations. So I mean, it's not always the same. Some have stayed longer. Some are just going to be in there for a couple weeks until they find family. Like some people are just stuck. So I feel like that's also something that people need to learn.
I think that, you know, a lot of that, like Sarah was talking about, it comes from media, comes from social media. You know, we are pushed these videos by people that are content creators that want to get clicks, and they will take shortcuts. They won't tell the whole story. And unless you take the time to really dig deep into these subjects, like, you know, when I knew I was coming on to talk about homelessness, like I dove head in, you know, and, you know, I've watched a lot of documentaries, but I watched more, and, you know, you start peeling back all these layers and understanding that there's a much bigger issue than the surface level. And I think it's the same thing with you ladies. Like you're hosting a radio show at the age of 17 and 18. Like,
right. Oh, you remember my age? Oh my gosh. No.
You say that like he's a grandpa.
It's just because like most people don't believe I'm 18. So some people, like even after I tell them I'm 18, they like, forget for some reason. Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, she looks young. So, I mean, I would have thought she was 12 if I never met her.
We have like a lot of companies and organizations like YAB. I don't know if you've heard of that. It's called YAB. Sorry. There's two different ones. So it's a young adult program. It's supposed to help kids into transitioning into adulthood. And the worst part is like you're supposed to be in it for a year. You're supposed to learn all this stuff. You're supposed to obtain it all. And like there's these meetings where you can have like a lock-in with all genders, with all like ages and stuff like that. And it's super duper fun and stuff like that. And the only part that's kind of like hard is because they have to choose one subject to talk about all that time. So it's either all week, all weekend, or like that whole day that they're there. Like it's seriously bad because they only like hit the little topics like one by one. And it doesn't mean that the kid's going to be going to every single one. So I wanted to ask if there's like a lot of, if you guys know of anything, like any organizations or companies that have like their input in the society and stuff, but they have limited, you know, limited things that they can do, like limited services that they can provide. And if so, do you think that there's anything that they could probably incorporate or do better at? You know?
It's a good question. Tricky question. I think there's a lot of organizations on the corporate side that want to give and don't know where and don't know the organizations that are actually making a big difference. I mentioned this last time I was on about there's a ton of foster care nonprofits, and a lot of them are kind of, you know, giving the kids gifts and giving the kids toys around the holidays, and you know, and those are all good things and cool things, and bring a smile to a face, but they're sort of short term benefits versus what Scott Foundation is doing is really more long term with emotional health and healing and development and learning, you know, independent living skills. So I feel like those are the organizations that companies should be investing in, those long term, thoughtful, making a bigger impact kind of groups like the SCAT Foundation.
It's going to have like a big footprint on the world, and not for a bad reason, but for a good reason.
Absolutely. You're right.
I think yeah. a lot of corporations and companies kind of go for the big name organizations because they like to be tied to these things, like, you know,
well, they
the
just,
Cancer Society,
like,
or, you know,
money, because the economy, the
yeah,
money,
it's the money.
They're like, if they can bring us money, then we're fine. We're good. Let's do it. It's just like, because that's, and I learned, because I'm in economics, and I learned about this all the time. So it's just like, we're just like a cycle. That's how it just goes. So, Justin,
No, go ahead.
Okay, sorry. How is the hummingbird tiny home? Like, I'm very, like, assisted to, like, help with making a home for someone.
You want to help me build homes?
I mean,
I'll
definitely
do
it.
All right.
I'll definitely do it.
I've worked on apartments. I know how to do spackle. I know how to do tiling. I'm good.
Let's build some houses.
Go, man.
I'm ready.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
Put these hands to work.
But, I mean, so we've, like, talked a lot about a lot of things. Corporations are, like, a big thing because, I mean, I even know kids in the foster system that have had parents, including myself, like foster parents, where they try to give you money and they try to give you things instead of the love and care and nurturing that they're supposed to be giving you. And the only reason why they're investing that time is and that money is so that they can look good. Like, they want people to look at them like, oh, you're such an amazing person. Mm-hmm. You took in a foster kid. Like, oh my gosh, that's so wonderful. It's like charity work.
Yeah.
Like, that's not what a relationship is supposed to be like in foster care.
Mm-hmm.
And it hurts me because one of my friends was in a bad situation and they end up going into that place and they come out because the parents aren't caring about the kid. They're caring about their reputation. I don't care about what's going on with the kid. They're just like, well, you're making me look bad. You're doing this, you're doing that. Like, telling them what they're doing wrong instead of teaching them and guiding them what to do right, you know?
And, you know, this kind of brings up a topic too. You know, we talked about complexity of homelessness and complexity of foster kids. Like, I think there's actually a complexity of foundations out there that hasn't been addressed. Like, you have these foundations that they look good on paper and they want to get the big, you know, picture with the check from that corporation. But there's so many grassroots organizations, and those are the people that are really making differences. You know, it's Colleen driving around her truck and, you know, picking up kids and taking them to events and, you know, taking everyone up to Sedona. Those are the people and the organizations that we need to focus on and convince these corporations, like, hey, if you really want to make a difference other than just saying, oh, we give a check to this company and we're good. They just kind of wipe their hands, you know, and I've been involved with some big corporations and that's the way it was. You know, it was just we'll do our part because we get a tax write off and we look good in the paper and we can tell our, you know, shareholders that we give. But there was no thought put into it. And there was no peeling back the layers and really diving in. Like, every big corporation should have somebody or a team of people like digging into the local community, like, who was doing the best? Like, who was making the biggest impact on the people? We're going to talk to the heads of those foundations. We're going to talk to the people that are involved. So, like, in this case, talk to the kids.
And even to the people that it's helping.
Yes.
I mean,
absolutely. If they would talk to you, like, that, like, we're talking right now, if a corporation would come and have this meeting here on Radio X, throwing a shout out there, they would come here and talk with you ladies or just listen. They would realize that, you know,
there's so much more than just money.
Because it's not money.
A lot of people believe that what foster care needs is the money. Oh, well, we put tax dollars in. Like, aren't they okay?
That's the thing.
Like, money, it does not solve every single problem. And that's what everybody thinks. Like, and on top of it, those tax dollars might help somewhat. But I mean, we're restrained from doing so many things that a normal kid should be doing. Like, we have a bedtime earlier than usual. We have certain time for dinner, lunch. Everything's laid out. We don't get really much of a choice. I mean, in our group home, we're more benefited than most group homes because we're the only one. But I mean, there's so many places that don't treat you guys like human beings. And then on top of it, like, when you're upset, no hugging kids, no doing this, no doing that. Like, there's so many restrictions that are supposed to be there to help you through those struggles. And then people wonder why, oh, why are you on so much medication? Why are you so bipolar, this, that?
If I can kind of speak to that, yes. I think you're making a really good point about how, you know, life in the foster care system can feel sort of sterile, where it's not a family, it's staff and the people around you, and they may not be your friends, and they're not your siblings. So to be supporting organizations and getting involved in organizations that are doing the hard work, that's the emotional work, mentorship, yes. And, you know, just getting involved on a deeper level of development and education and those things that are a little personal and sometimes uncomfortable. Not everybody.
Those are the best, because those are the ones that are the roots to make people who they are.
Right.
And if corporations keep looking at the people that have a big name brand, like, oh, I'm Sunshine Angels, we give gifts out every year, that's nice. But what about their futures? What about what they're going to do? Mm-hmm. What about what they want to achieve? Right. I mean, there's so many things that kids in foster care and even homeless people need to learn and understand. But corporations aren't looking deep enough or, like, looking into those people that they're giving money to.
It needs to be about compassion, not cash.
Yeah.
Right.
It's like everything is built on cash is what's going to make us happy. Cash is the best thing. Like, this is what I'm going to be to succeed.
And look at, like, the homeless situation. Like, we talked about how many trillions of dollars have been poured into that problem.
And nothing's changed.
Nothing's changed. It's worse.
Yep.
It's worse. Then you have small organizations that nobody hears about that are, like, going into these shelters and trying to help people. And, you know, they're pulling people out one by one, but they can't keep up. You know, they're relying on donations, but nobody wants to give money to them because they're not big enough and they're not fancy enough. And those are the people that are doing the biggest work.
Those are the ones that's getting dirt between their fingernails and putting in work and grit for it.
So we've talked about several challenges and how it's like. So what do you guys think makes a home a home?
This is going to be part of our Soul Play project that I'll be working with the Scott Foundation with over the next year. And that is really the kind of the topic of that entire year-long program, is what makes a home. And, you know, my interpretation a year and a half ago was some wood, some stucco, and a garage door makes a home. And it technically does, but really it has nothing to do with what actually really makes a home. I think, you know, to me, with three kids and a family, you know, we're kind of nomadic. We moved out of our house into an Airstream and we hit the road. Like, that was our home, was a trailer pulled behind a truck. So, you know, we kind of just smashed that whole notion of the home actually being a home and said, together, we're home. Like, being surrounded by people that you love and care about and don't judge you, I think that's one of the biggest things, is they don't judge you. Like, I can get up in the morning and dance around in my underwear and sing funny songs to my kids, and they're just laughing. There's no judgment there. And sorry to put that mental image.
No.
Take it out.
No, I actually think, like, how you said it, I'm pretty sure definitely the listeners will, like, have a better, like, understanding of, like, what you actually mean by, you know, that kind of situation. What about you?
Yeah. I think it's the same. You know, we talked about the social isolation. So to have people that you can live with and a community there, I think, you know, having a neighborhood that's social and friendly is amazing. And I think there's also something to be said about the excitement of, you know, choosing a home and being able to make it yours and decorate it and feel proud of, you know, I'm thinking about you eventually when you all move into your own place and how you'll style it with your own things and make yourself feel comfortable, mm-hmm. and you'll decorate with things that make you happy. And I think all those things contribute to taking just a space and making it yours and making it feel like home.
So I'm sorry. Like, I know this question was for you guys, but my definition is like a foundation, because, I mean, you can put a bunch of stuff on a pile of wood, but if it's not going to stay completely, like, stable, then it's just going to fall over. Mm-hmm. So that's why I like Scott Foundation, because even though we don't all live in the same roof or all, like, our siblings and blood related, I don't think it really ends in blood. I think it's about those people that support you no matter what. Like, you could literally be making the dumbest choice of your, like, life, but they'll still be there to back you up and also to be there when you fall, mm-hmm. just to guide you in the right direction, even if you want to still take the bad one. You know, that's my definition of a home is yeah. because it doesn't matter where you are. It doesn't matter if you have a roof over your head or not. It just depends on those people that are willing to back you up, you know?
Sure. Oh, yeah. That's, like that. That's how it is for me. I've had this since I was 12. I always had this. When people ask me what makes a home, I don't see it as a regular rectangle with a triangle on top or whatever you make. I see it as, like Autumn said, it's the people that surround me and how they surround me. So, like, for me, a home is being comfortable, being loved, being accepted, you know, all these good things and not bad things. Like, yeah, you're going to have your downs, but we want to have a lot of those ups, because I feel like having those ups and it being, like, accepted and loved really, you know, you have a very balanced out relationship, and that really goes a long way when you think about it. So I think that for me, that makes a home is just the people that are around you and, you know, love, compassion, caring, being comfortable.
Justin, we need to be Absolutely. Taking notes from these girls.
I know.
There's one thing that I like caught from what Sarian was saying. So my point of view is if you think that the world's going to be all daisies and roses, you're crazy, because mm-hmm. in all honesty, like, life is something that's going to knock you down 1,000 times, but you're going to have to get up. You're going to have to keep going. You got to make it better. So, I mean, there's this thing that I see on Facebook, and I read it a lot because it was posted by me a while ago. Mm-hmm. And it's where there's this big wolf, and it has 1,000 arrows in its back, and it's still standing, and it's proud, and it's still moving. And then there's this little pup that has 1 arrow, and it's, like, laying on the ground because it mm-hmm. can't handle it. And it's, like, I got all the crappy stuff when I was younger, so I feel like I'm starting to get to the point where I'm going to have some good in my life. And, yeah, I might still get knocked down, but, I mean, I made it through that. I can make it through this. So I feel mm-hmm. like people knowing that there's always going to be, like, those ifs, ands, and buts in between, like, people go through a lot of stuff when they're younger. Some people do it when they're older. Like, you just got to know that the people that are around you are going to help you through it. Like, you don't have to deal with it by yourself. And that's the thing that foster care kind of needs to help us with. So
that perspective is so beautiful. You just Absolutely. Warm the whole room with that.
I was just thinking about the kids today and how a lot of them are coddled and protected from life. And
mm-hmm. But none of them know
none of them
what's going to come
and then,
out.
And then something happens, like minor on a scale
and it's
of
like
life.
A
and
devastating.
It's like, oh
see, that's
yeah.
what I'm saying.
The sky is falling.
Well, it's because like I go to a school. Now, most of them, their parents, you know, they do live very good lives, like middle class, upper class type of thing. Most of them are middle class. But like, anyway, not the point. The point is that like, I'll be sitting there and they'll talk about they're like this, oh my gosh, this is the worst thing that's ever happened to me. And their friend's like, what happened, Kelly? My mom took away my phone because like I didn't do the dishes. And like, that's so ridiculous. Like, why can't we have a dishwasher for a reason? Like, I'm like, there
See,
are bigger
in my
things.
Opinion, in my that. Opinion, I hope that they learn faster than later, because there's yeah. even girls in my group yeah. home that take a lot of things for granted, and I feel like a lot of people do. That's because they haven't experienced that the feeling of being like upset or weak or feeling
vulnerable.
Yeah, exactly. Like, they aren't out in the world by themselves, like trying to fly by themselves. They're just stuck in their nest while their parents are making sure that they stay there, be safe, because they are making themselves think that their children are fragile. Mm-hmm. Like, if you continue letting your child be fragile, they're never going to figure out how to fly.
Or telling them that they're fragile.
Exactly.
You're going to believe it. The kids are going to believe it over time. Mm-hmm. And social media doesn't help.
I think you two just need to continue to share your stories, yes, and you will make such a difference for people.
Oh my God.
Actually, talking about that, so what do you think that us kids, like in foster care, or even like people that are connected in the community, could actually help and like do to focus on the most about what's wrong in our society, or what we can do to help spread awareness of something or things?
Yeah.
So if, oh, you were asking the question. You answer that.
Sure. So I think, I mean, exactly what you two are doing. And I hope that a lot of kids will come alongside you and do the same, which is basically thought and service leaders thinking critically about what do kids need? What does our
critically
society
need? And emotionally.
I know. And just looking to identify what the gaps are. You know, when we talked about homelessness and how there's so many layers, but trying to narrow down what is it? Where's the need? What's the root of it? And I think, you know, you starting so young to start thinking about those things and you know, everyone in the Scott Foundation identifying those needs and then trying to do something about it. You're thinking beyond yourself, which always amazes me. It just humbles me so much thinking about how much mm-hmm. you all serve others when you've had so many needs yourself, but you're stronger because of it. And I think you should keep doing that.
Oh, thank you. What about you, Justin?
Well, I think, you know, I agree with everything Gretchen just said. And I think you ladies are kind of cursed in a way, not in a bad way.
Oh,
but, <yeah. laughs> but you are awoken to the problems in our society that a lot of people aren't. Mm-hmm. Like you've already seen through the fog, and now, you know, it's kind of on your shoulders to lift others around you. Just like you said, in your home right now, you have 8 other people that they're not woke, right? They're still feeling pity for themselves, and they don't think the same way. They're in the same exact situation as you.
Yeah, we're actually, they're in our program now. We are actually mentoring them and trying to help guide them. And there's going to be a lot of change. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, not right away.
It takes time. Right.
But they're trying to do their best as is. And I think that they're doing better actually from it. And honestly, I can't wait to hand it over and let them show the torch for other kids, because that's what we need in this society. We need people lifting us up instead of breaking us down, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Just keep doing what you're doing. Like, I think that's the message Gretchen and I both have. I had it written down, like, just keep doing what you're doing and spreading it and being that beacon of light for the other kids, you know, in your situation.
Okay. So now here's even more tricky question.
Uh-oh. Uh-oh.
So if you had all the money in the world and the resources included, what would you do to make our world better?
Do you want me to go first?
You go.
this is a tricky one. You know, I would strive to make opportunity equal for all. Not outcome, but opportunity. So taking, you know, homeless people and giving them the resources they need to better their lives. I think throwing money at people and, you know, giving them things is not the answer. I think allowing them to impress themselves and impress society, I think that's the biggest thing that we could do for people, is giving them the opportunity to show themselves and the world that they are impactful people. And that brings like true happiness within oneself when you're able to do something for yourself. You know, giving money to these foundations and people, it's not about that. It's about people lifting themselves up and people being there to support them when they fall, like having that support net. I would expand the support net across the entire globe. Just have people there that when you fall, just like our old tribes, when Grandma Johnson got sick, there's people bringing her soup, there's people caring for her. I would bring that back on a global scale and just make sure that we all had support.
Love it.
I love that answer. What about you, Gretchen?
So I would say unlimited resources and funding and volunteers for organizations that are proactive, like the Scott Foundation, and how, you know, the teens and all the things that you've experienced, like you were saying before, the stress that you had, that those you're being taught those things so you don't repeat maybe some mistakes or maybe some things that you saw in your childhood. So I would love to see that. And then other organizations, like there's one that's called Safe Families for Children. And this is an organization that is preventative of foster care. So before kids are put into the foster care system based on poverty or based on abuse or, you know, those other things, that they could go to Safe Families for Children electively. So parents could say, I lost my job, I lost my home, I'm relapsing with my drug use. And preventatively, they, before it's decided for them, they can choose, you know, to enter the kids into a safe environment in a
and then fix on themselves.
Yeah. So, you know, and all the other organizations that give gifts and do fun things, and I'd love to see them getting support too, but just so much more focus and funding on the preventative groups and the education.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Thank you so much. I love both of your guys' ideas, mm-hmm. like completely. So how can the listeners get into your businesses, like your phone number, your email, anything like that?
So Hummingbird Tiny Home Inn, our website is www.thetinyhomein.com. We're big on social media, Instagram at Tiny Home Inn, Facebook, Hummingbird Tiny Home Inn. And my phone number, 480-825-4129, if you want to reach out and chat about tiny houses. Or we should be opening this fall, if everything goes according
What's
to plan.
What's your name again?
Just Jason.
No.
Justin Beers.
Okay, now you, Gretchen.
Sure. So it's Gretchen Jewell, and my website is Jewell, that's with two L's, J-E-W-E-L-L, Homes, H-O-M-E-S-A-Z.com. And I'm also on social media just under Gretchen Jewell with two L's. And my phone number, text call, 770-856-6052.
Wow, you must be a natural at this.
Yeah, she's just like, mm-hmm, I got this.
Okay.
Well, thanks.
So, also, another way that the listeners could help is the foster care tax credits. Which I will say is very good because it actually, like, you can do it to multiple people, correct? I believe so, right? Like, you can do it for a bunch of organizations, and you mm-hmm. and you just need to visit www.taxcreditsfor4azfosterkids.com. And every single first letter is capitalized, and AZ is capitalized completely. Again, www.taxcreditsfor4azfosterkids.com.
And we would also like you guys to join us May 2nd for our Arizona Tastes of Arizona. That will include a 5-course meal. And the chefs would be Brett Viver and Tamara Stanger, Chef David
Durate.
And Chef Jason Alford, and we will have artist Sherry Rowe there. So, yeah, she's the best.
She's great.
Oh, yeah. She can get down.
She's such a sweet person, too. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm sorry. Like, when I think of, like, celebrities, I think of those people that are, like, really nice on screen and then just total jerks on real life. But, like, Sherry was my eye-opening, like, mm-hmm. obviously not everybody's like that kind of
It's like, boom!
And if you're into golf, you can join us on April 27th for the Community for Kids Charity Golf Tournament at the Arizona Baltimore Golf Club Lynx Course. And here we would be working with Chef Brett with Cartwrights, and we would be prepping all the golfers' meals on the greens at 4 different holes. And on top of that, we will have a silent auction and ton of other prizes as well.
And again, we would like to thank Karen Nowicki. I don't want to pronounce your name. Karen Nowicki, for having us as our guest and letting us borrow her area and getting up on these microphones. Yeah. And our final sponsor, we recognize Kurt McCormick's and Association for sponsoring
these radio shows, and thank you for doing that.
I also want to thank Justin and Gretchen for taking the time out of your busy schedules and helping us and like coming and talking to us about the problem and how you guys think that we could all fix it as a society and as a community.
It's our pleasure, and thank you both for leading us today. Wonderful job, awesome job, like always.
Thank you. And this is all for Radio X today, also / Scott Foundation.
Boom.
Thought and Service Leaders. I hope you guys enjoyed the show today and have a nice evening.